You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, the Bible tells us that the disciples went with grief. You know, I mean, the Mary and the other, there's two Marys that went to the tomb. They went with grief, but they left with joy. Are you with me? And I think seriously, if anybody, you know, as a matter of importance, investigates the tomb, you'll never leave the tomb with grief because the tomb is empty. And that means something. You know, that means God keeps his word. That means that God's good overcomes evil. That means that life is more powerful than death. That means that your sins are forgiven and you and I are going to live forever. Hallelujah. The resurrection means a whole lot, and it is a it brings us joy, and it brings us hope. That's what I want to talk about this morning, minister on, is joy and hope from the resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. See, if you examine the tomb like they did, if you go to the tomb, most people don't. If you look into the tomb, most people hadn't. They don't understand the importance, the impact of that thing. See, as Billy Graham said, Christianity is either the most important thing ever to hit mankind and hit this earth, or it's not worth anything at all. You can't say it is a important thing. You can't say it is a good thing. You can't say that. No, if you understand Christianity, it is either the most important thing or it's nothing at all. Either the resurrection happened or it didn't. And if it did, it is the most important event that ever took place in the world. Because it is at that point that you and I got our sins forgiven and became new creatures in Christ Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. See, and if we, most people don't even consider the tomb, never passed by the tomb, never examined the tomb, never looked into the tomb, or the fact there even was a tomb. But if you ever do look into it, seriously, it's a matter of great importance, and you find out, and you will if you do investigate, find out that tomb is empty. Oh, hallelujah. Then real joy will come. Joy will come that it's not over when I die. That death is not the end. That death, like the tomb, is an empty, powerless, weak thing. That life is more powerful than death, praise God. That life goes on, and when you die and I die, that's not the end. That's what the empty tomb tells us. That's what the resurrection tells us. And because he lives, we'll live. Listen, it's not all about this life and this earth. We pass from this life to the next. The next is better and far greater. And that's why we rejoice in that. John 16. Jesus told the disciples this. I think it's interesting, you know, when you think about them going to the tomb with sorrow and leaving with joy. Well, they were sorrowful because Jesus was in the tomb. They were joyful because he woke up. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I heard it said like this, the resurrection proves that you can bury the truth, but you can't keep it in the ground. They buried the truth, the way, the truth, the life in Jesus, but they couldn't keep him in the ground. He came back up. Seeds that are living, you can bury them, put dirt all over the top of them, they're going to come back out. They're going to come back out. And I love that. You know, the devil thought he buried Jesus, but actually he planted them. And whatever you plant always comes back up. But Jesus understood this too. He understood human nature. He understood sorrow. He understood emotions. And, you know, he even told the disciples, you're going to be sorrowful. You're going to hate all this going on. You're not going to like what's going to happen to me. And truth be known, Jesus didn't like what happened to him either, but it had to happen. And he said, but hey, don't worry. Your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. Amen. And that's what he says in John 16. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation here. I'll switch back and forth, New King James, New Living, and Amplified, and King James, and NET, and try to stay up. But it says, John 16, verse 20, Jesus speaking, he said, I tell you the truth, you weep and you mourn over what's going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. Isn't that amazing? What brings you sorrow brings them joy. What brings you joy brings them sorrow. Because the world's upside down, and we're the only ones right side up. So he says, you weep and you mourn over what's going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. And I think sometimes we, if we're human and we really consider what took place in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we consider the torture he went through and the thorn of, the crown of thorns that was on his head, the stripes he took on his back, the piercing of his hands and his feet, that'd bring tears to anybody's eyes. Are you with me? But don't linger at the cross. Don't stay there. That's not the end of the story. You need to turn the page. There's another chapter. Jesus came out of the grave. Hallelujah. See, the devil thought he conquered Jesus and conquered Christianity, as it were. Nah, he just went through the very plans Jesus came to do. Nobody killed Jesus. Nobody killed him. We talk about people that crucified him, hung him on the cross, the Roman government, the Jews, and so on and so forth. Jesus said, I laid down my life of myself. He said, I lay it down of myself and I'll take it up again. He said, I will rise again. He told his disciples over and over. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth 3 days, and then I will rise. Thank God he rose. Amen. But he rose just like he said he would. See, the resurrection proves to us that Jesus told the truth. It proves that his word is true. His promises come to pass just like he said. It also proves that he is the Son of God. Because according to the flesh, he's the seed of David. But according to the resurrection, the Bible says he is the Son of the living God. So he's not just another man. He's not a Muhammad, a Buddha, or Confucius. He's not a Moses, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or a Daniel. No, he is the Son of the living God, and the resurrection proves that. And because he rose, we're going to rise. Because he conquered hell, death, and the grave, we conquer hell, death, and the grave. Because he rose victorious and going to live forever, you and I, who believe in him, are going to live forever. That's one of the requirements of eternal life. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Oh, hallelujah. I believe it. How about you? I believe the tomb is empty. So he tells them this. He says, well, you grieve now, but you're going to rejoice. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Notice the next verse. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. Think of the suffering that Jesus went through. And he uses as an analogy a woman going through labor pains and then bringing forth new life. Jesus suffering on the cross, Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus having gone to hell, caused the new birth and new life of you and me and all of us who are now Christians to come to pass. In one sense, he birthed us through his suffering, through his pains, as a woman births a new child. And when that new child comes, all the suffering is forgotten, hallelujah, for the joy of the new life. Glory. In other words, it was worth it all, and anything worth anything is worth a struggle and worth a sacrifice and worth some pain. If you want to rise in life, you're going to have to give up some things. You got to sacrifice. You got to give up to go up. Are you with me? If you want a resurrection, you've got to have a crucifixion. Are you with me? There has to be a crucifixion before a crown. And in Jesus' case, he paid that price. And now he is reaping the benefits. Hallelujah. You got to pay the price for anything that's good, anything that's holy, anything that's just, anything that's worth. You want a good marriage, you're going to have to work at it. You want your children to turn out right, you're going to have to discipline them and love them and have rules and be consistent and stay with the stuff. When everybody else makes fun of you, when they make fun of you themselves, you're going to have to continue to believe and do the right thing because it's worth the struggle and it's worth the sacrifice. You know, I think in a world I probably was a little hard on my kids. Jennifer's walking out right now just for me talking about it. As far as the world's concerned, you know, they'd look at me and they'd you don't let your kids do what I, you know, I wouldn't let them go spend the night with people that weren't in church and their friends had to be Christian, active church-going friends. I wouldn't let them go stay with them. And, you know, people thought I was just too hard and too mean and so on and so forth, you know. And we were strict on what they watched on TV and the kind of movies they watched and so on and so forth. And, you know, there's a lot of things. You look back on all that, you were just so hard and so mean. We made them go to bed at certain times, and hello. Yeah, they turned out pretty bad, didn't they? There was a struggle. There was pain. There were times I wish I just wanted to just let them do it. Come on, it's not worth it. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear all the hollering and the screaming and the griping and the moaning and the groaning and complaining. Just go on, have a big time, you know? Ah. But you know, you say, well, no, it's not right. It's not going to turn out right if I do that. I'm going to have to suffer here now to rejoice later. I know in a marriage sometimes it's tough. Are you with me? I know when pastoring a church is tough. I know when working on a job is tough. Owning a business is tough. Come on, anything worth anything takes struggle. And let me tell you something. The ultimate struggle, the ultimate sacrifice was paid for you so you could live forever. In fact, the Bible says for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Hallelujah. And a woman will go through that pain. I don't know. You couldn't talk a man into having a baby. Are you kidding me? But a woman knows the result of that pain, knows that 9 months of carrying that thing, waddling like a duck for about 3 or 4 months at the end, you know. And, man, I don't understand it. That's beyond me. Don't you tell me a man's tougher than a woman. No, no way. No way. Man, I hurt just, you know, hearing them have a baby. And they're having the baby. You know, they're going through the pains and all that. But it's worth the struggle. Mama's thinking about that baby coming. Mama's thinking about that. And I'm telling you what, it's like, it's a new world in a split second. It's a suddenly, when that baby is there and they're holding that baby. They're crying, they're laughing. Everybody's so excited. All that mourning and all that weeping and all that pain has been turned into joy because of a new life that's being held there. Can you imagine the suffering Jesus went through and the joy he experienced when he came out of that grave? Hallelujah. And that's the way we ought to look at the resurrection. Hallelujah. This is the other side of the pain. It's the other side of the suffering. It's the other side of the struggle. Hallelujah. The struggle is over. You and I are alive. Hallelujah. Because the tomb is empty. Woo. Makes me excited. He even elaborates on this. To think about this, he goes on a little further. He says, so you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. 22nd verse. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. Man, that's a promise. The resurrection guarantees me joy that nobody can rob me of. The joy of my salvation. The joy of my new life in Christ. Hallelujah. The joy of the fact that I'm going to live forever. And not just that. Next verse. And at that time, the resurrection, when I rise from the dead, after that, at that time, you won't need to ask me anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Woo! So the resurrection, I tell you what it means to me. First, it means I'm alive. I'm that birth that came forth from the labor pains of the cross and the death of Jesus Christ. He rose again, hallelujah, and he came out alive, and now I'm alive because of that. Amen? It means that. It means I've got joy the world can't take from me. Amen? It means, now get this, if the tomb's empty, then I can now get my prayers answered. If the tomb's empty, I can go directly to God now. Not through the high priest. Not through some confessional. Thank God. God bless Catholics. I'm not trying to diss the Catholics. I'm just talking about I can go right to God in Jesus' name. I can ask him for what I need according to his word and his promises. And I can have those answers. I can get an answer of yes. I can receive what I'm asking for. And I can have abundant joy because the tomb is empty. Think about it. Because of not Peter Cotton hopping down the bunny trail. Because the tomb's empty. Are you with me? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. I now have an audience with God. I now can ask and he'll hear me and he'll answer me. Hallelujah. If that doesn't give you joy, I don't know what will. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus was talking about. He said, oh, you weep now, but you're going to rejoice. You're going to rejoice with abundant joy. Because you're going to see me again, number one, and you're going to be able to pray and get your prayers answered. You're going to use my name. And whatever you ask in my name, you'll get it. because of the resurrection, because the tomb's empty, because Jesus conquered hell, death, and the grave. Hallelujah. That changed everything. See, the resurrection, this day we celebrate, changed everything. It changed everything. It changed the way we approach God. It changed the way we pay for our sins. It changed the way we worship. Hallelujah. Think about it. I think about us even celebrating day on a Sunday. You know, we've been meeting on Sundays for centuries. And we celebrate the day Jesus rose. Jesus rose the first day of the week. Up till that time, everybody celebrated on the Sabbath. In the early church, many of them continued because they're mostly Jewish until they got into all the Gentile churches like Rome and Ephesus and Corinth and, you know, all those letters Paul wrote. But here we are, we're celebrating every week. Incidentally, we're celebrating the fact on Sunday morning, first day of the week, that's when Jesus rose from the dead. We're celebrating the fact that he's risen. And that's why we're saved. And that's why we're going to heaven. And that's what makes us a Christian, is the resurrection. Woo! Are you out there? You know, I quoted to you. Well, turn over to it. Just turn, look at it. Get to watch your eyes on it. Hebrews 12 chapter. New King James Version. Let's switch species here. I love different translations, incidentally. I know when I start quoting it comes out King James. But that's because that's what I have in me for so many years. And, you know, in studying and looking at different translations, sometimes just one translation brings it out a little, puts a little more light on it in a little different way than another one does. And I encourage you, in this day and age we live in, why don't you look at some different translations? You can get on the internet free and just look up any translation you want to. It doesn't cost you anything if you have the internet or have one of those smartphones. You need to get an iPhone, though, not one of those droids or whatever. I tried to text Ted a picture the other day, and he had his smartphone wasn't so smart. It wasn't smart enough to get it. He had to really work on it to get the picture. Text me a couple times saying, what is it? What are you sending me? I said, I'm sending you a picture. Of course, I forgot he had one of those off-brand hybrid. Anyway, okay. I just had to throw that shot at Ted anyway. He finally did get it, though, because it's okay. Those droids are fine. It just takes a little longer. Anyway. Droid. Okay. Hebrews 12. Boy, I love this one. Seeing we're accomplished about so great a cloud of witnesses, you know, let us lay aside every weight and that sin doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Hebrews 12, 1. And we are. We've gone through the whole 11th chapter. If you had read Hebrews, you would have read the 11th chapter of all those heroes and heroines of faith that had by faith did this, by faith did that, by faith Noah, by faith Enoch, by faith. You know, faith, faith, faith. So we've got a whole troop of people to follow, as it were. I know some translate this as people in stands watching us, but I think really if you go into the Greek, what he's saying is seeing them, seeing their witness encompassed about us. In other words, they've done this, they've done this, they did this, they did it all by faith. Now you need to, by faith, do the same thing. And having said all that about Noah, and all that about Enoch, all that about, you know, Moses and all that about David and all the, let's look away from them and look to Jesus. Actually, it's what it says in the Greek, looking away and looking to. Looking away from them now, look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We have all these examples to follow in men and women under the old covenant. But let's go further. It's what Hebrews is all about anyway, is Jesus being greater than Moses, greater than the temple, greater than, are you with me? Jesus is a better example than all them. Even as good as they were, let's look away from them unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who himself did what? Endured the cross. How did he endure the cross? For the joy that was set before him. Now the joy, of course, was the resurrection in you and me. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. And the excitement and the joy that he knew would come if he would go through this pain and go through this suffering and go through this shameful death, are you with me, was worth it all. The greater the goal, the greater the sacrifice. Never was a greater sacrifice than what Jesus gave, but there never was a greater goal. Your eternal redemption, your salvation. New King James says, second verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy that was set before him, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, hallelujah. See, it's more than just Jesus beating the devil his own game. It was Jesus paying a price for our sins. It was Jesus procuring and getting for us redemption, redeeming us, because we had a ticket we couldn't pay. We had a debt we owed that we couldn't pay. You know that old, you remember that old song, "He paid a debt, he did not owe, I owed a debt, I could not pay, Christ Jesus." How's it go? "Took my sins away," or something like, "washed my sins away." Anybody remember that song? I owed a debt. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt he could not pay. Christ Jesus washed my sins away, or something like that. But anyway, I owed a debt I couldn't pay. You owed a debt you couldn't pay. That's why we call him the Redeemer. He redeemed us. He made it good. He paid for it. And what we got in salvation is redemption. Amen. That means, you know, when you redeem something, you purchase it. So he purchased, he paid for us. And he is the Redeemer. And this is redemption. Yes. And what was the price? The cross, the death, and the victory was when he came out of that tomb. Hallelujah. Woo! And the goal and the result was your salvation and my salvation. We celebrate Easter. We call it Easter, you know. Really, I like to say Resurrection Sunday, personally, because it just pins it, you know, it's about the resurrection. We celebrate it because it means so much to us. It means we're going to live. It means our sins are forgiven. Turn to 1 Peter. Hallelujah. A couple more verses. This helping you? We got joy. We got hope. Joy in a resurrection. Everybody dresses up nice and pretty. I love it. You know, I got a new suit on. Brenna gave it to me this morning and said, "Put this on." I put it on. Here I am. She bought it, I think, Friday, you know. So, actually, she made me try the pants on last night because she had to hem the pants. But anyway, she says, "What do you think?" I love it. "Well, here, put it on." "Okay. What shirt to wear?" "Wear that lavender shirt." "Okay, all right." I don't pick things out. I just wear whatever mama says. If I can make mama happy, I'm happy, happy, happy. Y'all know how it is. I was ruined a long time ago. We had three girls right in a row. Are you kidding? I wouldn't pick out anything anymore after that. I mean, when they became teenagers, you can forget it. I never wore, I mean, I'd have to get approval to get out of the house. I was just like shaking like this. I didn't know whether I was wearing was out of date or was didn't make me look cool or whatever, because I'd come out of, you know, I'd get dressed ready to go somewhere and the girls would go, "Dad, no, you're not wearing, what are you doing? That shirt does not go with those pants. No, you're not wearing those shoes. You can't wear those shoes with that." I'd go, "Oh, okay." And so it just got to where what am I supposed to wear, you know? Jonathan, before he got married, ran outside one Sunday. We were going somewhere, and he was going to church, and he was coming later. He ran out in the driveway because we were backing out before he did, and looked at Mama and says, hey, "It's okay." He's ruined too. He can't pick anything out either. You'd be amazed. People says, "Hey, where'd you get that shirt?" I said, "I don't know. I got it from Brenda." "What size shirt you wear?" "I don't have a clue." I'm telling you, I couldn't make it without Brenda. I really couldn't. I don't have a...
And our daughters called to see what size her husband was.
Oh, yeah. And now our daughters are calling to say, "What size shirt does Clinton wear?" Because Brenda knows everybody's sizes for birthdays. And okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Ryan and Ted laid out. Now, I can put camo on it. Come on. Come on now, hey. That's another story altogether, camo. Put camo on. 1 Peter, we digress. Let's get back to Scripture here. Ted's just trying to get back at me because of that droid phone. I know what that is. "Vengeance of mine, says the Lord," Ted. You don't have to do that, okay? 1 Peter, hallelujah. This is good. You'll love this. 1 Peter, the first chapter. Third verse, New King James says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope or a lively hope, King James says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So there's our new birth. There's that woman giving birth, as it were. You know, through the resurrection of Jesus, we're born again. We've been gotten again. Now we got a new life, hallelujah, in Christ because of the resurrection. I am born again. I have a new birth, and I have a living hope. So I've got joy and I got hope. Got hope for the future. I got the joy of my salvation. I got the hope of my future. I've got the hope of my prayers being answered. I got the hope of an expectancy of God moving on my behalf, favoring me and gracing me, because I can go right to God now. He loves me. I'm not just a servant. I'm not just someone trying to do right here. I am His child. Hallelujah. I've been born by the labor pains of the resurrection. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things are passed away and all things become new. What does the resurrection mean? It means I'm saved. It means I got a new life. Hallelujah. I got a living hope. A New Living Translation of that verse says this. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, now we live with great expectation. Oh, man, isn't that good? Hallelujah. I got joy and I got hope. Man, the world, I'm telling you, the world would sell their soul for that. There's people that got all the money in the world and got no hope, got no joy. Miserable, turn into drugs. How many movie stars have you seen just ruin their lives? All that fame, all those accolades, all that money, no joy. Because they never went to the tomb. They never saw the stone was rolled away. Never walked in there and saw it was empty. Never realized that Jesus has risen from the dead. We have, hallelujah. And we got joy. Got joy like a river. You remember that song? Got. I'm not saying y'all just not helping me here at all in this song. Okay. I get Chris up here singing that. He can sing. We'll get him to sing Joy Like a River. Okay. Thank God for a living hope. Thank God for great expectations. You know, there was a book written by Charles Dickens, Great Expectations, a little Pip. Y'all remember? I don't know if anybody read that. They don't read the classics anymore in school, but just classic literature about a boy born into poverty, basically, and it goes through stages of prosperity and becomes a gentleman, and so on and so forth. But we really have, the fairy tale really is true for us. Are you with me? I mean, Pinocchio really did become a little boy. God did cut the strings, hallelujah. We did come alive. We are new creatures, praise God. All that you could ever hope or dream for did take place, and it took place because Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. That's what we're celebrating today, hallelujah. You and I have great expectations. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. So we have the joy of our salvation. We got the hope and expectation of a better life, obviously, here and in the future. Get our prayers answered. Wow, resurrection means a whole lot, doesn't it? Makes you want to dress up. Makes you want to look nice. I love it, you know, when everybody dresses up and all the women have new dresses on. And used to, years ago, they wear all those hats. You know, you'd see all those Easter hats and Easter bonnets. Y'all remember that? Anybody? Everybody's going. But you look across and there'd be hats all the way across. And still some churches and some of the black churches, and I know there's no such thing as black-white. You understand what I'm saying? But even today, there are white people getting together and black people getting together. And some of the black churches, they still hold that tradition. I think it's neat, you know, all the fancy hats and bonnets and Easter bonnets, they would call them, the Easter hats and so on. Hallelujah. I'm glad men never did wear them. That's good. 1 Thessalonians 4 gives you something else that we have the hope of because of the resurrection. Joy and hope. Everybody say joy and hope. See, that's what the resurrection brings. The resurrection brings joy and hope. Hope being expectations. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I'm going to read New Living Translation here. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. You know this verse, you've heard it. You know, it would not have you ignorant, brethren, of these things concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as those that have no hope, King James says. He says, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, See how it all pivots on that event. Just like over there in 1 Peter, you know, by the resurrection we have this hope. You know, by the resurrection. It all is surrounds the resurrection. Jesus is he that was alive and dead, and behold, he is alive forevermore. So even there, he died, he rose again. Our salvation's based on it. If you confess your mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ be not risen, our faith is vain, and we are dead in our sins. It's all based on the resurrection. We talk about the cross, and we do preach the cross in the sense that he had to suffer and he had to die, but it doesn't stop there. We often see those little emblems that you could buy with Jesus on the cross. He's not on the cross. That cross is empty just like that tomb is. The price has been paid. He's already suffered. He already died, and he already came out of that grave. Hallelujah, somebody. Woo! Man. So it says here, if we believe, or since we believe, that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. There's our hope and expectation of our loved ones. So the resurrection doesn't just give us hope for the future. It gives us hope concerning our loved ones that have gone on to be with him. It means that mama and daddy passed away, or grandma and grandpa, or even me, even God forbid, one of your children, you know, if that had happened. It means that you will see them again. You say, how can you be so sure? You can say, well, have you gone and checked the tomb out lately? It's still empty. Are you with me? I grieve, but I don't grieve as those that have no hope. I hurt, I cry, I weep, but not like those that have no hope. I got hope. I got expectations. Hallelujah. I got expectations because I'm celebrating today the fact that I'm going to see my daddy again. Are you with me? Because Jesus rose from the dead. I'm celebrating today, right now. Over the last 30 years of pastoring this church, I buried several people. But they went on to be with the Lord. We just buried their bodies. I celebrate today that I'm going to see them again. Why? How can I be so sure? Because Jesus rose from the dead, that's why. That's what this is all about. It's about life. It's about resurrection. It's about the weakness and the powerlessness of death and the tomb. It's about the awesome, magnificent power of life. The life of Jesus Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. And you and I are going to live forever. Amen. He says, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, raised life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord, by the word of the Lord, King James says. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. They've already met him. They're already with him. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God. And first, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Their bodies are going to come out of those graves. Then together with them, who are still alive and remain on the earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture, because we're going to meet him in the air. Then we will all be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. King James says, comfort one another with these words. And notice how it all hinges on resurrection. The resurrection gives us the hope of seeing our loved ones again. Great expectations. Hallelujah. I got great expectations because Jesus rose from the dead. You know, and I know sometimes it's you have to watch the wording and the timing and the spirit that you say it in. But when someone loses a loved one, when they're ready, you know, and you're able to share with them, I think it would be great to remind yourself if a loved one goes on to be with the Lord, or maybe to help someone on their journey as they're dealing with the grief and so on and so forth, just to say, hey, remember, just don't forget. You know, you have to pray about the timing, but just remind them and you in times like that, hey, tomb's empty. We got hope. I know you're hurt, and I know you're sorry, and weeping may endure for the night. Joy comes in the morning, but let's don't forget something. Jesus conquered hell, death, and the grave.